Okay, so today we are going to watch This Side of Paradise.
Yes.
The Enterprise is a colony where indigenous flower spores provide the settlers with peaceful contentment.
That's what I've got. Well, I've got different wording, but that's what I've got, yeah.
Do you recall seeing this?
Like always, not really.
I feel vaguely, I feel like I may have mentioned that I feel like there's a planet where spores are
I
fucking
feel like
everyone
that.
up.
Yeah, I feel like it's something I've probably seen around, but I don't remember like the episode. You know what I mean? Like a thing that got spoofed on other series or something. You know?
Right, yeah.
Trying to decide if I want to go with the Feelin' Blue Raspberry or something about sour apple cherry fruit gushers that I've got. They're both just 10 milligrams, so it doesn't really matter. It's just what flavor do I want to try? You know? We'll do one now and then one later, so I'm not too stupid during the show, you know? These things are cool, man. They're literally like fruit gushers, but they get you stoned.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I've been getting to try a lot of new different types of products, which has been nice, you know?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Do you have information about this side of paradise?
I wasn't sure we were at that point, which is why I hadn't said it yet. Sorry.
We're not at any particular point. So.
So the director of this episode is Ralph Senesky, sorry. Story is by Jerry Soule and DC Fontana, and teleplay by DC Fontana. And Fontana's come up a few times. We seem
Yeah,
to
we like DC Fontana.
we do. He did Charlie X, for example. So, and he also did Tomorrow Is Yesterday. So, you know, pretty high scores overall for those. It first aired on March 2nd of 1967 with an IMDb of 7.8 out of 10. I wish I remembered the episode better. I really do.
I wonder how high everyone is going to seem. This will be fun. We can ask people a question about getting high. If you were on an alien planet, actually, I mean, ideally, you wouldn't want to be on a planet where the air just gets you high all day, no matter what. That would be boring.
What, being high every day, all day?
Yeah, right? Like, there's no
Yeah,
change. You think
I'm
so?
down for it.
Okay.
I have been doing that.
Oh?
Outside of when I'm wor at work, I have been doing that
Okay.
lately. It's been nice.
But I
It's
think, yeah.
I think it depends on like the person and what they go through, right? Like, so for example,
Yeah.
like I personally have a lot of anxieties and a lot of things that get in the way of me being able to just function relaxed and like as part of society normally, right? So being stoned takes some of that edge off for me. And I kind of chill out a bit, and a lot of that anxiety and stuff just goes away, and I don't think about it the same way, right? So for me, it helps, whereas I know other people might not find it that way. They might just find it like, you know, impeding their day to day, right? So it just depends on the person, what they go through.
Yeah. But are you working like 8-hour shifts?
Well, I'm not allowed to be stoned at work,
Right,
so
no,
I
yeah, I
don't.
mean that's I'm where I'm getting at, yeah, is how often are you not stoned? Yeah.
Yeah, whenever I'm at work, we have to be sober. And I still have issues with driving while high. So one of the things that's happened is like if I've got a day off, but I know I'm driving in the like afternoon to take chaos someplace, for example. Like say we're going grocery shopping or whatever, I will smoke and then I'll cut off about 3 hours before I expect to leave.
Right.
So that way I'm not high anymore while I'm doing the driving, and then once we're home again, I can get stoned again, right? So
Okay.
it is stuff like that. It's with
Right.
work, it's a zero tolerance place. Like the guy who was the manager of my store when they first were opening got fired because he was caught smoking on camera
Yeah,
at work.
exactly. Yeah. So, and I'm not like playing devil's advocate or anything, but
No, I don't think you are.
on the planet
It's
where you get high all the time, you would never be able to drive the car or go to
Well, there's a difference there where it's not something
work.
that's ingrained as a rule that you don't drive while high, right? It's just that's not even that they know that they're high necessarily. I think it's more just this is how I am always. So they are used to it and adjusted to it the way someone who's chronic might be. Whereas I'm still fairly new, so I'm not used to it and adjusted to it yet, right?
Do you think that if you became accustomed to being high all day, you would drive and go to work? Is that?
I think I'd be more apt to do it. Again, okay. It depends on the level. Like I'm with the description.
Actually, you would be more apt to do it. Yes.
Yeah. Especially with the description of the episode, if it's a low level high and you're not like fully inebriated, but like you just got that edge taken off, right? No,
honestly, some peaceful contentment would do me well right about now in August of 2004.
Yeah,
2004. Well, I wish it was August of 2004.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe not. Yeah, I don't think I would. I don't think I really going back
and that would have not a no. That wasn't a good time for me. But yeah, no, so it's like if you're at that low level high where the edge has just been taken off, and you're just kind of relaxed a bit, but you're not like fully inebriated. Sure, I don't see as much of an issue. But if they're like, then again, it depends on the extent of the show how it's showing it. If you're a person who's like completely like screwed up, like practically greening out level of high, I think that it's that then is definitely I wouldn't be like, you'd just be a vegetable, you just don't do shit, you couch lock yourself and stay there, you know.
Yeah, hopefully this planet doesn't get you so high that that's the state you end up in.
Hopefully we'll have to see.
Yeah, do you want
let's go for it.
Oh yeah, I have to like start streaming and stuff.
That does help, yeah.
Welcome back to The Least Ready Room, a podcast where Dave and Chris, I am Dave, excuse me, oh my god, I'm having stromboli for dinner. Something is burbling in my gutty works. I'm Dave, that was Chris, who I was talking to. I have to figure out how to like properly credit everyone in this intro, like, because I've been saying things like, a podcast where Dave and Chris and several other people, such as these six people, often talk about Star Trek. I started it with Chris. Saint and Weebs are almost always here. I don't think we've done an episode without Chris. But we might. We might do an episode without me someday. But right now, it's a podcast. It's a talk show. I guess it is. It's a talk show where Dave and Chris, I'm Dave, talk to a bunch of people like Saint and Weebs and Chaos and Fickle Pickle Pie and Thrash and Surreptitious Music. See, this is what I did last episode. I want to not do that. Because it's a rotated cast. But I love all those people. So thank you all for being involved in my Star Trek podcast. Today we're going to talk about, is it This Side of Paradise? Which, if you haven't gathered, is about a drugs planet. So we're going to talk to Saint first, I think just Saint. And then we're going to talk to Chris again to do the whole scene-by-scene breakdown of what happens in this episode. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. We'll do the question of the week at the end, and the question of the week this week was, if you could go to a planet where you could just be high all the time and not have to worry about anything, but also never do anything with yourself again, and never leave because you wouldn't want to. I mean, you'll see. It'll make sense once you hear us talk about the episode, or once you watch it, I don't know. I mean, watch the episode of Star Trek. There's no visual. Well, I mean, I guess this does go out on YouTube in a somewhat visualizer view. You know what? Let's talk to Saint. For the first time ever. Jeez, Spock. The only time I've ever been happy in my life is when I was on Drugs Planet. Okay, Spock.
Fuck. Should probably stay off Drugs Planet.
Yeah, let's not let Spock go anywhere near Drugs Planet.
Yeah. And, also,
There's a shot maybe, of the fucking thing blasting him.
In the face. I was going to say, maybe also keep him away from the Romulan ale.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Yeah, Spock cannot handle any type of intoxicant. I remember, I don't know if some internet forum I was looking at, whatever, around the time of 2005 or 6 or whatever, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie came out. And, you know, there was a little bit of hype before it came out. And at some point, the first poster was revealed. And the poster was like nothing. It was just like the Delta, you know, the like...
Yeah,
the thing. That was all the poster was. But whatever website had posted it, the first comment, what it says is... Spock has a beer and cheats on Kirk. That's really like there's something real about both of their characters in that comment.
There's that energy for real in this episode.
Spock has a beer. A beer.
And cheats on Kirk.
Yeah, that's basically what we just saw.
Yeah, and you can see him telling her, he's like, I wish I could love you, but I must obey my duty to the man on the bridge. Says it all wistfully. He's like, I can't leave you. I have to stay with my husband.
I have duties. This temporary affair that we've had was delightful. Whatever some Midsummer's Night, if we shadows have offended and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking Spock. Oh my god, the shit that Kirk is saying to him.
He says something.
You should be perched on a toadstool.
Okay, call him an elf. He's being really rude.
He's letting it out.
He should have just, like, hit him with the bat.
That would have made him mad, probably.
Probably. Just,
your mother... But your father was a computer and your mother was an encyclopedia. And Spock says, my mother was a teacher.
It's like, father was an ambassador.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of, like, really strong dialogue in this one. There's like some of it is really overdramatic and some of it is really silly, but I think it's like it's all strong. Like the characters are they're all firing. Like they're all we're seeing all of their true colors here. It's really man, I like all of them. This is
the same as the story of the Island of the Lotus Eaters, the Odyssey.
Right. Yeah. Do you recall?
Yeah.
Sort of like, can you refresh my memory of the Lotus Eaters? Because I sort of had a conversation and I wasn't sure exactly. But is it just this? Do his men sneak away and start eating lotuses and they're like, we're just going to stay?
Yeah. It makes them, they live in peaceful apathy, it says here. It's like a narcotic.
Yeah.
It's like they're all on heroin.
And everyone's just in this valley, like looking at the clouds.
And
Odysseus has to like kidnap his men and get them back on the boat. And he probably has to tell one of them that their mother was a computer.
I think he only sends I'm looking at the story again. He only sends a couple men on board and, He forced them all back onto the ship because they were eating the lotuses and getting high.
Yeah, so that's sort of what's happening here.
Yeah.
A classic Greek allegory.
Yeah.
About taking drugs in a valley.
About taking drugs and not wanting to do anything else.
Yeah. There's a good Kurt Vonnegut short story, which I should really learn the title of because I've mentioned it a couple times. I wonder if I type in Vonnegut story machine that makes you high. Because it's pretty cool. It's basically a guy that invents a machine that gets you high. And, he turns it on, and everyone in the house just immediately stops doing anything. And, people come over to check on them, and they walk into the house and just sit down and feel completely content forever. And, the house is just kind of collecting people, and no one inside has any idea of how much time has gone by or why there are more people here now or who's yelling. And it's neat. Machine
Yeah.
that gets you high.
I
Let's
think
see.
that gets you high.
And I think the punchline is that it ends up getting you, they end up weaponizing it, like the government gets their hands on the technology.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The Ufio question is the name of it.
The UFO question, huh? Okay.
Euphio. Yeah, it's a short story. It's really cool.
EH and U. EU is.
PH.
PH, yeah, it sounds Greek. EU is the Greek word for good. So I've
Oh.
seen it as like euphoria is good feeling.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Euphio. Yeah.
Euphia. So yeah, it looks probably same as euphoria. Euphia. Yep. Drugs. It's they're in some kind of drug hazy hive mind. They can do enough shit to
They can grow six tomatoes.
they can grow enough tomatoes to like not starve to death.
But it almost seems like maybe they don't even need to do that. Like their bodies are just Wolverine regenerating because they're full of spores.
Yeah,
The
or
spores may
something.
be the only thing they need to live.
Maybe.
They were like
They're still making food and stuff though. Maybe they just like to eat.
Yeah, I would eat some tomatoes if I didn't have to.
Even
I
if I
think
didn't
I
have to, once in a while, I'd be like,
although
you know, get me a Greek salad up in here. Although you wouldn't be able to have a Greek salad because you wouldn't be able to make cheese.
it sure doesn't seem like they get bored. It doesn't seem like they have any desires at all for
Yeah.
tomatoes. Yeah, I guess, yeah, I don't know. We don't need to nail down the mechanics here. But they may or may not have to
It almost makes sense that they don't have to eat, but
Yeah.
it
Because
would have been even more suspicious if they landed on the planet and they're all literally just lying there. They're like, well, we don't have to like build shelter or houses or wear clothes or do anything except lie here in a field and regenerate and be high. There's something left in there. They're still like, oh, we
yeah.
still need to like interact a little bit. Like we still need to.
It sure feels like they would all like it if there were more people around.
Yeah, because they were like, yeah, fuck yeah, man, more people are here.
High people are
Maybe
always like that. High people always want more people to be high.
yeah. For a second, I thought you said hive people, and I was
Oh.
like, but that also works.
But it's even more true for hive people.
Hive minds are always like, please join our hive mind. This is the best.
Oh,
Being part of the
being part
hive
of the hive
mind.
mind is that's where you want to be.
This is the best, guys.
Yeah.
You need to get your brains the fuck up in here.
Why would anyone not want to be part of the hive mind?
Yeah.
Crazy talk.
Crazy talk.
What do you think? Would you, if you had no needs and didn't have to eat and could lay in a field all day, would you do it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe like when I like when they're if they're like, yo, you got terminal cancer,
Right, yeah.
you don't have long left to live, or I'm really old or something like that, I'll be like, I can go spend the last year or two of my life in bliss. That's cool. This is like hospice.
I was gonna say, yeah.
It would be a great hospice planet.
That's what they should do with this planet.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I would have said fuck. Maybe not 10, maybe like 15, I would have said fuck yeah. And like in
Yeah, my
20 or
dude.
30 years, I will say fuck yeah also. That's.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I have a theory that so many old people are so grumpy and cranky all the time, probably because they're in a lot of pain all the time. Like, not just physical pain either.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks.
Yeah, it would be nice if they could live on a drugs planet.
Yeah. Send you to the drugs planet. But yeah, on a more upbeat note, just or maybe not upbeat, Kirk just like, but you know it's better than being high being mad.
Yeah.
It's like,
You know
oh,
what'll
you're
really clear your head?
getting fucking mad as hell.
Get pissed off at everyone around you.
Either that or super, super sad.
Getting
One or the
pissed
other.
off at all the high people, which is like really, which is really easy. That's something that
Yeah.
happens. One of the high people gets really pissed off at all the other high people, and then, I mean, that's kind
And
of what
then,
happens in this episode. That's how you defeat the high people. Get
And
one or
then,
two of them mad, and it spreads.
yeah. And then everyone's like, man, you fucking harsh my buzz. I'm going home.
Yeah, and that's what happens in the end of this
Fuck
episode.
this.
That's
Yeah. Fuck
what
this. I'm going home.
happens.
You've ruined it, man. Ruined
Like
my high.
the dude. McCoy tells the leader, like, let's see how long it takes for me to put you in the hospital. And the leader is like, oh my God, I've done nothing for 3 years. Fuck. Everyone's having this moment of lucidity.
I got punched and
Yeah.
anger beamed, and now I realize I haven't done shit for the last 3 years except be high.
Kirk and
Yep.
Spock invent an anger beam. There's got to be some kind of peace convention that, like, the whatever the Romulan peace accords are, they got to outlaw anger beam.
Anger beam.
That can't be allowed.
It's like in the Geneva Convention, like you're not allowed to
Yeah.
use weapons that cause undue, pain
Yeah,
and
like
suffering.
germ warfare chemicals.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like if you just want, if like if you're just aiming to kill
Anger
somebody,
beam.
like okay, like you're trying to kill someone, that's war. But if you're just trying to like hurt someone real bad, like, come on,
Crippled
yeah,
the
like let's.
population. Harsh the mellow of an entire population. That's out the door. It's not allowed. Can't do that.
You can't do that. So
I
it's
think
like
we all agreed.
just yeah.
Anger beam.
Anger beam. And all these guys are like, it's better to struggle and fight. That's the universe. That's how things are. That's life. You know? Me, I'm like, oh man, it would be kind of nice to live peacefully and not have to worry about shit.
I mean, I make an effort to not like really
Go pick fights
want.
with people.
Okay, well, that's
Oh, sorry. To want lots of
no,
things. No. I get you there too. Like,
it's a constant struggle for me not to get into fights with people. But so my balance is somewhere in between those. But I mean, so it's not that like, it's not that, but there's a difference between not wanting things or not wanting a certain outcome and like not having ambition or not wanting to
Is
progress
there,
or build.
or not caring what happens?
Right. There you go. Yeah.
Because it's really not even so much that these guys like don't want anything, it's that they just don't care very much about anything.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter because everything is in a point of stasis where there are no other animals around and they have six tomatoes
Yeah,
and
they have no needs.
nothing's going to change because they have no needs. Yeah, having no wants is different from having no needs.
Yeah. Well, they say all no wants, no needs, but like
Right.
the things they want are very simple sort of stuff within your grasp. Like when you're really high, like
Laying in a
man,
field and looking at clouds.
I just want a cookie. I just
Yeah.
want to like eat some cookies
Six
and
tomatoes. A
like
mint julep. You think
watch
they
the
had a
clouds
mint
go
plant?
by. Yeah. Yeah, he had a mint plant and I guess he had some bourbon lying
Yeah.
around.
And ice cubes. Maybe they had a fridge.
in that fridge. In that barn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the farm that they're living on.
I mean, they obviously took enough time to like build a barn and some houses and stuff to live in, and
yeah, they didn't do nothing for 3 years.
They didn't do nothing, but I guess dude was actually, I guess this dude had an ambition of making like a fucking garden planet or something like that. He's like, I'm gonna turn this whole planet into like parks and farms, and I'm gonna sell like gigatons of food.
Yeah.
Also have like really cool vacation spots for everybody. It's gonna be great, you know.
Man, he could have done that, and it would have been great. Except instead, he got high. I mean, I think like this planet could probably be, maybe not. I was about to say it probably could be of use. You just got to get some like efficient stoners down there, but maybe that's just the point. Maybe no one can function or build anything because they have to look at the clouds.
Yeah, they have to look at the clouds. Like, and it's, I almost imagine them growing weed. So it's like, right. I can get high.
I'll tell you what, it's real easy to like start a garden and get really high and 3 years later have 6 tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happens. Anyway, this is a great one. I'm starting to feel repetitive, like because I really enjoy every episode, but I mean, what else can I say?
Yeah. There's a lot of good episodes of this show. We said it a bunch of times. Like right here, like the end, like the back half of season one into like season two is probably some of the best original series.
Yeah, real good ones.
You know. So
the next one is The Devil in the Dark.
Oh, pain. Pain. Yes. Yes.
Is it a silicon based life form?
I believe so.
Something like that. It's something so alien that it's not even.
It is made out of lava and spits acid or shit like that.
I love that. I love blobs. I love it when there's an alien blob.
Yeah.
So into blobs.
Yeah, Devil in the Dark is another good one. I think some people get disintegrated by the acid.
Ooh.
Some red shirts get lost. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like I haven't seen an episode where they just killed a couple red shirts for no good reason in a little while.
Yeah, no, we had a couple starting out, like some of the first five or so episodes of this, at least 3 of them had like 2 people getting randomly killed without fanfare. Like Rook.
Yeah. Throwing people down a mine shaft or some bottomless shaft.
Bottomless pit right next to my front door.
It's like, it's bottomless, Captain. Just so casually.
Yeah, just don't worry about it. They're good. It's bottomless. They're fucking dead. Like, bottomless?
Like, bottomless? I thought you were a scientist or something, dude.
Is this a fairy tale? You have a bottomless pit right here next to a treacherous, slippery staircase in a cave? And that's how you get to your front door? This show is funny as shit, man. Yeah. Star Trek TOS, the real shit, those old scientists.
The other Star franchise, Star Wars.
Yes.
I make jokes about how like when I'm playing a Star Wars game, I'm like, I can tell that I'm in the Star Wars universe because like this environment is at least 50% bottomless pits with no railings.
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, even in those original movies, they were like very video gamey in the sense that there were bottomless pits everywhere and walls that crush you. Boy, it's like George Lucas was thinking someday they're going to make video games out of these movies.
Yeah,
they're going to love this chamber that crushes you with a squid monster.
Yeah, they're gonna love these bottomless pits. These are going to make great platforming sections.
Oh my god, the cloud city, certain scenes, you know, obviously when Luke is like hanging on and falling made me feel sick as a child. Like,
you know, I don't think it was until when I was older that I really understood the scale of what was going on in those scenes. Cause like, I do remember having some nightmares about the Empire Strikes Back after watching
it. Yeah, a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. Nowadays, I'm like, oh my God, I want to live in Cloud City. I want to live in the upper layers of a gas giant above the infinite clouds. So fucking cool.
Is that what that planet is? I don't even know what, like, what's on the surface of that planet. Is it a gas giant?
It's just a gas giant. They
That's
mine.
cool.
They mine gas from the gas giant.
Neat.
There's,
Yeah.
so yes. Yeah,
Man, so
there's
what
no.
happens if you fall? You just fall into the denser layers until you're suffocated
Interior.
and burned up or whatever?
Yeah.
Ugh.
There's no surface. It's just like it just gets denser and denser and denser until it's kind of like a liquid, and then it becomes like a super. You know, crash
God.
liquid. You'll be dead long before you get there.
That's like, that is horrifying. That's like, that's almost like Lovecraft shit. Like
Yeah.
a truly alien world, just gas.
An abyss that goes down
Oh,
forever.
I hate that. I hate that a lot.
You know,
Wow.
one movie that sticks with me, that like just for imagery was 2010, the
The
sequel to
sequel?
2001.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
never, don't think I ever saw that.
it wasn't great.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
I actually saw it before I saw 2001, which
Okay.
was really confusing.
That's interesting.
It was very confusing. Later on, I watched it again after I'd watched 2001, and I was like, oh, okay. But also, I see why people didn't like this, because
Sure.
it plays out a little bit more like Interstellar God, I'm trying to think of like recent space movies that are like hard sci-fi space movies. There have been a few, like
Well, alien movies are what comes to mind
yeah
when I think about hard
yeah
sci-fi and space.
actually actually yeah alien movies, like the sort of like common area where like they hang out and talk really
Oh.
resembles of like the common areas of the alien sets
Oh, sure,
of
yeah.
the stuff.
Yeah.
So but yeah, they're on a spaceship around Jupiter, so they're like, you know, they're sort of hanging over this planet and like hanging over Europa and stuff for a while, and it's, you know, just sort of like the scale of like
Yeah.
gas giant systems, you know, moon systems and stuff always sort of boggles my mind, and it's but in like a really cool way. I love that shit.
Yeah, it's scary to think of whole other worlds. Man, even the moon is fucking weird that it's just there. Like we could go there. We'd probably be going there all the time
Yeah.
if there was something you could make money off up there.
Oh yeah. There's
But
nothing to make money
nothing
off of up
there,
there.
it's just chalk.
It's just, yeah. No, it's worse. I was reading a book about, you know, moon bases, and they're like, it's not just chalk. It's electrically statically charged, so it sticks to everything, and
Oh.
it's like fiberglass.
Oh,
So
just a terrible place. Just
breathing it
terrible.
in is, yeah, breathing it in is basically just tearing up your lungs and your throat. Yeah, it's you don't want to be there. There's no, you know, protection from solar radiation, you know, during the day. So like you got to live underground. You
Yeah,
know, when they
that does sound too awesome.
eventually do get to build moon bases, you know, if that ever happens, it's not gonna look like those cool domes with like
Oh.
buildings underneath. It's going to
Right,
be like
yeah.
burrows underground.
Yeah, that's not as cool.
That's not as cool. I mean, Star Trek is so fucking cool, honestly, but like right now, the way I think of like the far future space exploration is like, I really think it's probably just going to be lots of robots. Like human beings for the most part are going to be stuck on Earth. And, you know, maybe occasionally we'll get to go to the moon or Mars or whatever, but it's mostly just going to be sending robots a lot of places to do stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of, honestly, there's a lot of great shit to look at in this solar system, but there's not really anywhere to hang out.
No, this is it.
This is all we got.
We're on it. This is the place, man.
Well, great.
I
I mean,
mean,
that's well, good. Well, I'm glad
yeah.
that that's where we are then.
Yeah. Yeah, space is very relentlessly hostile to the human life.
Did you see that guy
It's
walking in
what.
space? Did you see the guy that did a spacewalk?
Yeah, so the guy doing a spacewalk.
Man,
That was pretty cool.
it looked like he was wearing like yoga pants. It looked like he wasn't wearing anything at all.
Yeah, newer spacesuits they're making are less like bulky.
Man, and that like that shit protects him from the vacuum of space.
Yeah.
Are we sure that Stanley Kubrick did not direct this video?
I think it depends too, is if like you're going outside for 5 minutes to just kind of like
Sure,
move
yeah, to
around.
look around,
It's
yeah.
one thing, it's like if, but if you're like a NASA astronaut, it's like, okay, I'm up here to service the Hubble telescope and I have to like climb around on that shit and use wrenches and arc welders and stuff in space, then
Man.
maybe I want something a little bit more robust and sturdy. I gotta be out here for like 2 hours or something. Actually, I don't even think spacewalks last that long, even for NASA astronauts. It takes them like, I'm thinking like they can't be out there for more than like
Yeah,
30
I
60,
don't, yeah.
I don't think. Right? I
They
don't know. I know
can't
it takes them like, I know it takes them like 45 minutes, like half an hour or 45 minutes to get suited
to
up.
get suited up,
Something like
yeah.
that. Yeah, it takes a long time. And I was watching stuff about, spacing. I was watching something about like, realism and Starfield, and they're like, it's pretty funny the way how you jump into an airlock and it, pops out the other side. Like 10 seconds later, they're just like, whoosh, air, whoosh, no air, airlock opens. They're like, that shit takes like 10 minutes.
Yeah, to pressurize.
Yeah, or depressurize.
Yeah.
Yeah. That takes a while. And I mean, okay, future, better technology, more stuff, but it's like there's also limits to physics in certain ways. Star Trek doesn't
Right.
care about limits to physics.
Oh, no. No.
Star Trek is like physics.
Well,
We're
you
gonna
know, and
bounce a tachyon beam off the main deflector dish
right.
to create a gravitational anomaly and drag us all back in time. 20 minutes to save the Earth or something. Yeah.
Right. It's like that time Superman flew around the Earth backwards
Yeah. Exactly.
until Lois didn't die in a car crash or whatever it was. But that's good. But that's and you know, but that's part of the nature of this entire series, really, and the what these stories are supposed to be about, which is not hard science
No.
fiction.
No, it's not
It's yeah,
fiction yet.
it's these are human stories with a
Yeah.
spaceship. Some of
Yeah.
them barely have the spaceship involved, you know?
Yeah, it's space opera,
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. It is. It's the drugs planet.
Drugs Planet. Yeah, I will give this side of I gave this side of paradise a 10 out of 10 for being about a drugs planet.
Yeah, I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Cool.
This is
Drugs
a good one.
Planet. Yeah, this is
Drugs
yeah.
planet.
It's fun.
I liked how Spock was like it hurts, and he's like, and she's like, it's not supposed to hurt, and he's like, well,
But my Vulcan brain, you have to test your drugs on all kinds of biological beings before you give before you start handing out drugs, make sure that there's going to be, make sure you know what kind of interactions might occur.
yeah. Bitch, my biology is totally different than yours.
I love Kirk yelling at Spock. Anytime we get Kirk yelling at
Just yeah,
Spock.
Kirk's.
And this is a
That's
good one.
twice now that Kirk has solved his problems with racism towards
Yeah,
Spock.
by calling him a half-breed elf computer.
Computer,
And your mother was a. I
insulting,
cannot. I'm gonna print
insulting
a t-shirt that
parents.
says, "Your mother was an encyclopedia."
Your mother, your father, your mother was a hamster. Your father smelt of elderberries.
Right.
It wouldn't be a bad afterlife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you don't, yeah.
That's what I was saying. Send me there when I'm like 85 or something like that, or 90, or like really sick. Just be like, I can finish up there. That'll be fine.
Yeah, for now I got things to do, probably.
Yeah.
You
Since I'm here, I am a
might as well.
nihilist. I don't believe in anything. Nothing is real and nothing lasts and everything will be dust one day. But since I'm here, might as well get a few things done.
Yeah. Might
Yeah.
as well interact with the place.
Yeah. Existence is temporary and non-existence is forever.
Well, that's upbeat. That,
That's what I was saying, it would be the other thing is this would be a good this planet would be a good afterlife if you could have an afterlife. I would want it to be something like that. He's like, okay, I don't have to worry about shit now. I can just
yeah, actually, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
chill in the sun.
I guess I would want to not, I would want to be, as much as I try to not want things and not be guided by wants and desires, it would be nice to truly know that on an absolute level, I actually did not have to worry about anything ever again. That would be like, imagine that kind of bliss. I mean, that's it. That's what
That's
bliss.
literally nirvana. That's what happened to Buddha. It's like he didn't
Oh.
want anything anymore. So then he when in Buddhism, when you desire causes suffering.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm
But
saying, yeah.
once you're free from desire, you no longer suffer.
Yeah,
And that's
that's
nirvana.
cool. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking to me about Star Trek. That was a fun one.
That was a fun one. I'd kind of forgotten about this one, honestly. I didn't remember. Like, I'm like, how do they get out of this again?
I knew there
I'm
was
like,
going to
what?
be one with spores, with flowers that make people high. I knew
Yeah, I knew. I did know that.
it.
I'm like, why is Kirk the last one to be affected? He didn't get a full blast in the face, but also he's too mad.
Yeah.
He's too mad and too ambitious.
He has too many strong feelings about being a big captain man.
Yeah, and exploring the universe like
He's
crazy.
filled with violent emotions about exploring the universe.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta see everything out there, literally. And if you get in my way, I will punch you in the face.
I'm gonna get Spock to teleport up here so I can whack him with a pipe.
Yeah. Call this mom something really offensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Yeah, man.
Good night.
All right, yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
Dude, they just say anything.
really they'll walk up to you and I mean, especially if like if anything tragic has happened
Yeah,
ever.
you are their therapist while you're selling them their Gucci pants.
Donuts.
Yeah. Coffee. Like it doesn't matter. You're their therapist.
Pot.
Yeah. Not yet. I haven't had it happen at this job
I
yet,
almost
but
feel like, if you're at the dispensary, your worries are probably taken care of.
honestly, the number of people who come in are just pissy.
Oh
I
yeah?
okay, really good example. Apparently, one of the strains, because I don't know anything, and I make this very clear with everyone, right? Like I'm learning a lot about everything related to pot right now. So there's a strain called Super Lemon Haze. Buddy comes in, he's like, "I want your Super Lemon Haze pre-roll," and I'm like, "Okay, we don't have a pre-roll named that." He ends up getting really pissy at me. He says, "It's not in my system." I'm like, "If it's not in my system, I can't sell it to you." Like, he got just so up in arms over this thing, and I'm like,
Did he
"I'm not
think you were
budging because
gonna did he
I don't
think you were gonna roll it?
I didn't know what the product was. I didn't even know what it was. So he leaves all pissy and like grumpy and practically like to the point that I actually considered talking to my manager about getting him banned, kind of level of just rude and asshole-ish. Last night he comes in and he's like, what products do you like, what are the names of the products from this brand in this section? And I tell him and he's like, can I see this one? And it's like flower and diamonds is what the thing's called. Okay. I hand it to him, and he's like looking at the packaging, and they've got in small writing, strain, super lemon haze, and he's all reticent and nice. He's like, see, the strain on this one's called super lemon haze. That's what I was looking for last time. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I was unaware of it. I have to go by product names. Thank you for letting me know. And he asks for a bunch of other stuff, and he's like, yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am, the whole time. It's like, yeah, somebody told you off for being a dick.
Right.
Like, you got in shit from someone. There's no way you've done like that high of a flip, you know?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't even know what the point was, but the point is that like weird people, weird fucking people.
I think the lesson that I took away from retail, I don't know if this is a... At one point, I thought this was a cynical thing to say, but I now kind of think... I mean, maybe it is. Maybe I'm not right. But everybody... In fact, it was actually only two words. I was about to make it a full sentence because other people know that this is the lesson that I learned.
Okay.
It's everybody crazy.
Yeah.
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 Period. Everybody crazy.
You work in retail long enough and you will see everything.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's... I don't know what makes everyone want to go out in public and tell people how crazy they are.
I get the feeling that some of it is... retail, you have to try and be the super friendly...
Yeah, you got to kind of have a conversation with them, and you... Yeah.
And I feel like some of that is what leads to it, because, like, you, as the cashier or whatever, are putting them at ease, and then when they're at ease, they'll tell you whatever they... Like, whatever's on their mind, and this is just the shit that's on their mind at the time, right?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean it's right, it doesn't mean it's good, but I feel like that's part of it. Please stop telling us your secrets. We don't want to know.
It's really weird being on the receiving end. Like, I guess I kind of get it if you're like, you're going about your day, you're thinking your thoughts. Here's some guy that's going to talk to you for a minute. Fine. You're going to tell him some stuff and he's not even going to think about me or the fact that he just told me he was getting a divorce and his wife was cheating on him with, you know, some asshole from work. Like, he's like, you know, I might as well tell this guy. I'm never going to talk to him again. But actually, that can't be seen as like a rule, because a lot of the people I would see again many times, and they would go down as whatever that first weird conversation.
We had a guy who kept coming in. He's been banned since because of some sketchy shit. But like from day one, he was just nicknamed the tweaker because he always came in and was always like, he was just had manic energy and he wouldn't explain anything. And it just came off like he was either on drugs or needed them. And he will never, I don't care if we ever learn his name, he will never be his name. He'll always be the tweaker.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Everyone. Yeah. If you are, yeah, that's what I mean. I wonder if people are aware of that if you are a regular at any establishment, they have a whole nickname for you.
Especially the weirder or more of an asshole you are. If you're a nice person, we might just remember you as your name or something cute. Like, we had one chick who's got a dog that she brings in all the time.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll get you here. Yeah.
Yeah, your nickname, at least for me, it's like the dog's name and then mom.
Ah, yes.
Like, that's my nickname for you now. You will never be anything else. But if you're an asshole, yeah, we're finding like the most embarrassing thing on you that we can, and that is who you are now.
There was this girl that would come into the Dunkin' Donuts. Bank girl.
Okay.
She would come in. She was one of the, she would come in and she would pull out a notepad and she would start listing coffees with, you know, complicated numbers of ingredients each, right? You know, many. Like,
yeah,
you know,
the Starbucks type people, yeah.
Like 8 coffees. And we would beg her. Every time, because we vaguely knew her, like someone that worked there went to high school with her. She was sort of like, we had a bit of her, she was our age, etc.
Yeah.
We would say, come on, you can call us. We will take it down. We will write down what you want. And we will, you know, we'll have it ready when you come in and it'll be easier for us. She didn't understand that. She didn't understand why it was annoying for her to appear in this fashion, right? And she never changed. And one day she came in. There's a lot of moments like this where I was a villain. Okay. So spoilers, I'm the villain in this story today.
Okay.
She came in one time, and this girl was also a very put together person. She always had a lot of makeup and mascara on.
Mm.
So she came in and she had clearly been crying a lot. Her mascara and her makeup was all over the place. And I said, "Oh, what's the matter?" And she said, "I got fired." And I said, "All right, fuck yeah." And I turned to my friend to try to give him a high five. And he just stood there.
That's such an asshole thing to do.
And I didn't care. I was happy.
Because she stopped coming in, yeah.
She stopped coming in with a list of 8 different things that
yeah.
that she would have to stand in at the front of the line.
Yeah.
Well, right. Instead of just we could make it on the side.
Yeah. But some people don't see past like the immediate in front of them, right? So
yeah, it's really the people behind the counter are not people.
You don't exist. You're not important. That's why even during COVID, like we did danger pay for essential services, and it mostly was grocery store workers. But like fast food and stuff, we're still open to a degree with delivery services, but also like firing people because they could only have so many in the store at a time. So they didn't have the hours, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like they just did not matter.
So what happened on this Paradise episode? What was it called?
Let me check.
I'm looking it up here.
This side of paradise.
What kind of paradise?
This side of paradise.
This side of paradise.
This side of paradise.
Do you see Fontana? Yeah, that was terrific.
I really enjoyed it.
Everyone got to make some excellent faces.
Honestly, I was really impressed with, like, because Shatner's Shatner, right? But, like, he had that monologue near the end on the bridge. I'm like, you almost sound like an actor.
I really liked it when he was making fun of Spock.
That too.
He tells Spock that Spock's father was a computer and his mother was an encyclopedia.
Spock has got a history of don't make fun of his mom. Or he will beat the shit out of you. And this is like the first instance of that. He's such a mama's boy.
That's actually real common behavior for people that claim to have no emotions. That if you say the wrong thing, they might beat the shit out of you. That's real. That tracks. Yeah, that's real. That's good character building.
But yeah, no, like they actually have it like later in like J.J. Abrams reboot. Like he's being made fun of and he's getting upset as a kid in school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then they say one bad thing about his mother and he flies into a rage. Like Spock is well known as this is how he is. You don't make fun of his mom. Man, he will kick your ass.
His mom was Winona Ryder and she got killed on the vaporized Vulcan.
Yeah. I was actually really pleased by that casting. I thought she did a great job.
Oh, that was awesome. To see
like, not the dying part, but like the whole thing, not just the dying part.
Having her there, yeah.
Yeah. And like, she's someone who, she got like blacklisted back in the day, and I'm so glad she's starting to make a bit of a comeback. She was solid, and she got blacklisted for stupid reasons. Anyways, yeah, episode.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Winona Ryder.
She did some thefts back in the day. I don't remember.
She was like, doing some vandalisms.
She stole some stuff from like a high end boutique, and yeah, so she got blacklisted.
That seems real light compared to what people get canceled for these days.
Yeah, I don't remember much about it because it was in like the mid 90s.
She wasn't making some powerful Hollywood enemies. That's normally what you get blacklisted for.
Mostly, it might be more than that. I just remember that she did the thefts and then kind of stopped getting roles right away.
Yeah. I wonder if... I feel like she was in a movie called Mr. Leeds right around there, but I can't remember if that was like one of her last movies or if that was like when she finally came... Or, yeah, I really don't know because... Star Trek was definitely before Stranger Things.
Yes, Star Trek kind of spurred them to, I think, to remember Stranger Things, you know?
I wonder if the Mr. Lees was like right around then, or if that was like her last movie, or why the hell that's in my head at all. I don't know. I think it's Mr. Leeds. It might be Big Daddy. It's an Adam Sandler. I'm not sure. Those movies, I think, are both kind of the same thing.
I don't know. The Big Daddy one was one of the Sprouse kids, and Adam Sandler's a comedy. I don't know Mr. Leeds. I don't know if I saw that one.
I feel like they both involve him inheriting something, unless one of them he inherits a child, and in one he inherits like a building. And that guy from Brother, Where Art Thou and Transformers is there.
That's Mr. Deeds with a D.
Mr. Deeds. Okay. Steve Buscemi is probably in both movies.
I don't know if Steve Buscemi's in either of the movies.
I feel like he's in a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
I don't think it's Steve Buscemi who is in his movies. It's Rob Schneider who's in his movies a lot.
There are a variety of people who are in Adam Sandler movies with some frequency.
That's fair. I don't remember Steve Buscemi being in a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
In either Big Daddy or Mr. Deeds, he plays a character called Crazy Eyes.
Apparently I'm just wrong. Yeah, no, apparently he's a lot of times.
Yeah, that's Mr. Deeds. He's Crazy Eyes. No, he's always Steve Buscemi is often like in at least one scene in an Adam Sandler movie, you know. He's Adam Sandler likes to pepper him in.
I'm not a big Adam Sandler fan, so
no,
I haven't seen a lot of his stuff. That explains why I didn't know this thing, but like, yeah, no, I just thought Steve Buscemi was better than that. I shouldn't have. He's in Miracle Workers. That's exactly the kind of shit he'd be doing for like Adam Sandler, but still. Yeah, we can get into it more later and I can show it to you if you want, but it's, what's his face? Daniel Radcliffe, the guy who played Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a warlord with his wife, and they settle into like post-apocalyptic town. And Steve Buscemi is playing the town junkman, who becomes his boss.
Is it like an anthology? Is it like a seasonal anthology? Like each season is different.
I've only watched part of the first season, so I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm not. Radcliffe did something like that. I feel like this is what it is.
The one that I know him from for it was TikTok keeps playing the clip of him singing in like BDSM drag of She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain.
Oh, I have not seen that.
He's like the town pastor, and then he's just like in, it's I guess not too much BDSM drag, but like somewhere between like BDSM drag and like Dr. Frankenfurter with a boa.
What's the show called?
Miracle Workers.
Yeah, I think he plays like I think in one of the seasons he is like a priest or something.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's right now he's the warlord thing, and we're like episode 4 or 5 of season 1. So like I haven't even really gotten fully established into the show, and I'm loving it, you know?
Yeah, I mean I could definitely be thinking of a different show also, but
yeah.
So some people have settled on a planet that is going to be bathed in Berthold rays. Berthold rays?
I think it was Berthold. Like Berthold, I think.
Berthold rays. These are going to kill all of the life, or maybe just all animals. Maybe plants are okay.
I don't remember what specifically it's going to kill. It's just going to kill people and get off the planet is all I clearly remember.
It's going to kill people. That's for sure.
Yeah. So the colonists have to get off the planet, but they don't really want to.
Yeah, Spock and Kirk go down there with Sulu and I think one other guy.
Yeah, blue shirt, not a red shirt or anyone like we knew.
Zero deaths in this one. This was a rollicking good time.
Fun.
This was everyone had a good time. Everyone was okay in the end. Honestly, this would be a great place to take a vacation as long as you knew someone was going to come down with the sonic anger ray. Oh boy, I'm really getting ahead of ourselves. But the mechanics here are funny. Like, this is intrinsically funny.
It's a silly episode, but it's a good, silly episode.
Spock discovers that they have no cows in the barn. Something is amiss. Like, I think from that, from the big reveal, there's no cows in here. Like, because it's set up, like, to be a reveal.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're on. This is going to be a caper. This is going to be silly. Oh, and one of the other hints that I got, we'll talk about the trumpet noise that keeps happening later on, but the sound we get a taste of a hijinks track that has played before in other episodes.
Yeah, they've got like a two phrase piece of music that they keep playing whenever people are gonna get up stuff, where it's that little type thing.
Not so fanfare, but like that kind of thing. That was a good impression of what it's like. It actually is. But one of the other big reveals is, you know, the McCoy is going around scanning these people because he's like, this place is, and yeah, he's like, oh, so we should be okay but with the radiation for 48 hours or something, but you know, these guys have been being bathed in it for years. There's no way they're going to be alive.
Got to make sure that they're healthy, and they can't possibly be healthy.
So he's scanning everyone. Everyone's in perfect health. And McCoy comes to Kirk and he's like, Kirk, this is fucked up. This is the leader's record, Mr. Sandoval. His records indicate that he had his appendix removed and he has scars on his lungs from pneumonia and, you know, something else happened. And look, his appendix has grown back, and his lungs are the lungs of a teenager, and he's no longer circumcised. So I almost, because of the robotic way that Leela was delivering her lines, I almost for a second thought, is this going to be robots? Is it going to be spores, but also everyone's a robot again?
Yeah. I kind of thought that too, like, but not robots, like clones.
Yeah, right. It would have been clones because they've grown their appendixes back.
Yeah, like the spore has taken the body of the person and is now the like, you know, the clone planet we had in Voyager. Same idea.
Yeah. And the original guys would obviously be dead.
Yeah, 100%.
But Spock, you know, Spock goes, oh, there's a girl there that Spock went on a date with one time, which is like, this is the third or fourth time something like this has happened.
The galaxy is a small, small place.
Happens to Kirk a lot. Well, I mean, it really is at this point. At this point, there's probably less than 100 colonies, and all of those colonies have 5 to 10 people on them, it seems.
Yeah, but that's still a lot of people for, you know, the same four, you know, ex relationships to be there.
Yeah, they're mostly Kirks too.
Yeah, man, do get around.
We're saying it's either a small universe or we're saying something about Kirk.
It could be both.
So the girl takes him out to the fields, and with a resounding trumpet and an explosion of glitter, this flower blasts all over him, and immediately a spotlight is upon him and a devilish grin creeps across his face. God, the stuff that I'm going to record the whole speech that Kirk gives to him when he's making fun of him. Kirk is fucking laying into him, man.
It's so good, though.
He's calling him devil-eared. He's calling him an elf that should be squatting on a mushroom.
It's just straight up like the most vitriolic stuff, and it's so funny.
Oh, that was, yeah. I mean, I did not expect that. That was like, really, like, at least a couple of minutes, like several really solid lines. Like, he's going at it. Really, really good material. But anyway, so Spock immediately is smiling and happy. The sun's shining on him. And he's like, Miss Leela Kolomi, I think I'm in love with you. And they're rolling around in the grass. So Kirk gets the order from Starfleet, and they're like, you know, this is fucking weird. Get those fuckers out of there because they're all going to die of radiation.
And Kirk tells Mr. Sandoval, and Mr. Sandoval says, no, we're not going to, we're not going to do that. And when he calls Spock to tell Spock we're going to do that, Spock is like, hey, you know what?
Spock wasn't even answering.
Yeah, he's got to call Spock like three or four times. And then Spock answers with, yes, Captain, what do you want?
Come on, Mom, leave me alone.
I do like that on the way to see the spores, Spock is talking to Leela. Why do I want to call her Leela?
That's what they called her. They spelled it Leela, but they were saying Leela.
Oh, is that what it was? And my brain, wow. Is it weird that I didn't even... Were they calling her Leela?
They were saying Leela, and whoever did the captioning spelled it Leela, because people don't know how to spell Leela.
Wow, I really had like a mental, like a cognition break.
Yeah, now she might actually be spelled, it might actually be spelled Leela for the character in general, and that's where the captioning came from, but I don't know. But I'd have to look that up.
That may have been in the script, but on the day of shooting, they decided to call her Leela.
Again, I have met people in real life who are called Leela frequently, but their name is spelled and actually pronounced Leela. So it depends on, what happens. Some people are just dumb.
But she's telling him about how there's this thing that, you know, makes everything peaceful and everything's fine and we're all healthy, and she's going to show him this secret thing that's going to make him feel the same way they do. And he starts to get on. He's starting to put one and two together, and he says, "What you're talking about is called a happiness pill."
I thought a lot of it was funny.
It was all funny.
It was such a good episode.
It really was good. Like there's like every time the spore blast goes off, it's trumpets and like huge chunks of glitter flying everywhere.
It's like a little cannon every time.
The flowers are so obviously crafted from strips of spray painted
styrofoam or plastic or something.
Foam rubber, yeah.
Yeah.
And so all of the crew starts carrying them around. They start beaming up to the ship. They start squirting them all over everybody. Uhura is, oh my God. Dr. McCoy goes full on George and what's that chicken? What's that rooster?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah. That's what.
I hadn't even realized it. Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what fucking Bones McCoy is doing. He's got a guy. He's got a mint julep. I don't know what kind of liquor or mint they have on this planet, but yeah, Dr. McCoy was a hoot. This is a 10.
Yeah, no, I'm not like thinking that's wrong at all. This is so good.
Somehow everyone gets infected, and everyone, in fact, they bring Spock lures the original three other crew members, Kirk, the pilot, Sulu, and the blue shirt, over to a patch of the flowers. They go off in a fanfare of trumpets, but somehow they only hit Sulu and the blue shirt. So Kirk is fine.
Blue shirt's name.
Do you think he had one? I don't think he did. He might have. Sometimes they do, and but he might not have.
Okay, so the guest appearances, one of them is listed as like Lieutenant Kellowitz, Lieutenant DeSalle, and then there's crewman.
Ooh, I feel like I heard DeSalle. I feel like I heard someone say something to a DeSalle.
Okay, so that might have been him.
Might have been DeSalle, okay. But yeah, so everyone gets high and teleports down to the planet. Kirk is alone on the ship. He's recording a sad final.
It's not the sad. It's the red shirt.
Oh, huh.
I'm looking at the actors and looking at a picture to see if I recognize them.
Oh, okay. So while he's sitting there recording his final captain's log about how everyone went to get high and he's sad and there's nothing he can do about it because they're all going to be healthy and happy. And he hates them for it. Like fucking Grendel while everyone's having a party. He's up there in space just gritting his teeth. But as he's sitting there so sad, I thought it was going to be revealed that someone had snuck in there with the flower, because the flower just kind of pops up from off screen
and just blasts him in the face.
It was so silly.
And Kirk must be some kind of paladin. He's the only one. Maybe it's because he's alone and he's not on the planet with the energy of everyone else, you know? But he's
It's because he was so sad, because he did say the negative emotions killed him, right? So even though he's been sprayed in the face with it, he's so upset about being alone and everyone having basically mutinied and abandoned him.
Yeah.
That he's fighting it off that way?
So either he's the strongest or he's just the saddest. I think it's just that he's the saddest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Lieutenant Kellowitz, by the way. I've found who it is. It's okay. Kellowitz
is the guy that gets blasted along with Sulu.
Yeah.
But he's packing up his stuff. He's like, all right, let's go. Let's do it. And he looks at his Medal of Honor or something from Starfleet. And he starts having a little bit of emotions. And then he gets to the teleportation room and he gets angry with himself. And he's saying, I can't leave the ship. And he's so overcome with violent, angry human emotions that it cures him of the spore sickness, highness. So he realizes that that's the key. So he's got to trick Spock to come up here, which is when he unleashes his speech of Vulcan insults. I have noticed as we go along, they call him a Vulcanian and talk about Vulcania quite a bit. I feel like we have heard Vulcan and Vulcans. Maybe they kind of were just doing both and hadn't really settled.
They might have been.
Yeah, because they call him a Vulcanian in this one.
And it could also just be related to like who's saying it and what
exactly.
Their interpretation is at this time at all. Like it might not have even been discussed, right?
And that's a really smart thing to do. That's also really good character building. If someone who's a little uneducated calls him a Vulcanian, it indicates that they don't know what the planet's actually called. But that's that might be the...
It's also a way to show, like, what's the more natural one for people to be saying, because that's what would have developed within the language to begin with. It's the one that's more natural to say, right? So it lets them find that one, like, actually by kind of trial and error.
Yeah, I like it. It's realistic. Yeah.
It is. I don't think it is that, but I think that that's a real good idea for it, right? Oh, why yeah. Wouldn't we do that?
It's hard to say, yeah. Stuff like this, it often happens like by accident. A lot of Star Trek lore kind of just happened by accident, but
yeah.
Sometimes there was stuff that was laid down long ago. So once he makes Spock angry, he's like, we got to build an anger ray to piss off everyone on the planet, and then they'll realize that they've done nothing for 3 years except sit on a farm. I like how the farm looked. That was a fine episode.
That was a really good episode.
Yeah, thank you for hanging out and talking to me about it.
As a quick side note, this I think is my second 10.
Okay.
Both of us gave it a 10. I think it's my second 10.
I feel like I've given out 3.
4, 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I see 5 on here.
Cool.
Yeah, no, you love the show, and that's perfectly great. It's a great show.
Yeah, if they're really good, I'm going to give them 10s.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Do it.
Okay, so, all right. So, first of all, thank you for being here. Second of all, this episode is late. I do want to, at some point, this show will come out on Mondays. And that would be great. The reason that I thought I should mention that is unimportant. It has to do with the logistics and how much I have to scroll through to find the answers to the questions I'm about to read that people responded to in Discord. So, the question of the week was, can you move to Drugs Planet if you like. You don't have to eat or do anything else. You are always happy, but you will also never be motivated to do anything other than sit around being high. You can't leave because you won't want to. Do you go? Pete K says, nope. Without some kind of struggle, I would never actually be satisfied. Saint says, like I said in the episode, as you heard in the episode, I'll go when I'm old and already dying, hospice planet. Pete chimes in again to say that was also the plot in the last season of The Good Place, which I feel like I should watch that show again. I sort of kind of remember that being the case when you get to heaven.
You're just, yeah. Is that a good afterlife? In the good place, they decide that it's not to sit around blissing out forever. Let's see. History Buff says, honestly, I would not mind going because even though I do not delve into the world of drugs that much. Granted, I am a cigar smoker, but I digress. I wouldn't mind going because the amount of conversations I could have with people about certain things and just learning different ways of thinking about themes seems like a really unique idea. Yeah, I didn't see any philosophers on Drugs Planet, I wonder. Locke says, I fight tooth and nail to avoid going. Raven says, I feel really motivated lately, even without being constantly high, so it's tempting. It's like either work or drugs, feels like. Weebs says, nice knowing y'all. Which way to the spaceship? Key element being always happy and not just high? Yes, I think that's the situation. Seems like it would preclude all other consideration, and that's a good point. If there's a chance that the shine dulls after a time, though, then I'd rather have the opportunity to get up and go do whatever I wanted on Earth, even if it was difficult or physically impossible, rather than not be able to at all on Drugs Planet. To be honest, though, happy and high all the time are really different things. And that's correct. Yeah. Chris says, as I believe she said already in the episode, yes. I can do whatever I want and be happy and high. 1,000 times, yes. Later on, I remembered that there was also healing involved. I didn't mention in the question that also your physical ailments would be healed. So I mentioned it again in the Discord. All of your injuries heal quickly and completely, even old debilitating conditions from before you arrived. That kind of might change my answer. If this remains an option, go into Drugs Planet, I might go there pretty soon. I would like my physical ailments to be healed, please. My pal CJ Earth pops in after it had been a minute and says, low-key, as long as I can watch anime, read manga, any planet is fine. So Drugs Planet for CJ. And Toronto, that's Chris, says, still 100% down. So great. So thank you for listening to the Least Rate Room. That was the question of the week. You can answer the question of the week. The question of this week will be, oh man, what's coming next? I don't know. I'm going to have to do that. I'm trying to, somehow I never am prepared enough to know what the question of the week is going to be while I'm recording this and, like, you know, finishing up editing. But the question of the week, of course, will be posted on Discord. If you would like to answer the question of the week or be involved in any of this bullshit, you can get a link to that Discord at koyadk.tv. You can also visit lakehousesoaps.com to buy soap and shit from me. All of my social media, other things, are somewhere between those two places. I'm supposed to update that stuff. I have so much upkeep to do, but anyway, thank you for being here. We'll be here next week. I don't know what the next episode is. I could probably think really hard and figure it out, but let's not do that right now. Let's roll on out of here. Thank you. That one, I feel like the outro fell apart. Okay.
All right, you mutinous, disloyal, computerized half-breed. We'll see about you deserting my ship.
The term half-breed is somewhat applicable, but computerized is inaccurate. A machine can be computerized, not a man.
What makes you think you're a man? You're an overgrown jackrabbit, an elf with a hyperactive thyroid.
Jim, I don't understand.
Of course you don't understand. You don't have the brains to understand. All you have is printed circuits.
Captain, if you'll excuse me.
What can you expect from a simpering, devil-eared freak? My father was a computer and his mother an encyclopedia.
My mother was a teacher. My father, an ambassador.
Your father was a computer, like his son. An ambassador from a planet of traitors. The Vulcan never lived who had an ounce of integrity.
Captain, please don't.
You're a traitor from a race of traitors. Disloyal to the core. Rotten, like the rest of your subhuman race. And you've got the gall to make love to that girl.
That's enough.
Does she know what she's getting, Spock? A carcass full of memory banks who should be squatting on a mushroom? Instead of passing himself off as a man, you belong in a circus, Spock. Not a starship. Right next to the dog-faced boy.